From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a series of messages on the Lord's Prayer. The current focus is on the word forever, found in the concluding portion of the prayer, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Dr. Cairns is preaching a message entitled, "Lessons from the Eternity and Immutability of God." In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns is emphasizing five aspects that an awareness of eternity should produce in the lives of Christians. First, it will impress upon our praying the solemnity of eternity. Secondly, this awareness of eternity will establish us and our praying on an immovable stability amid all the changes and circumstances of our lives. Third, focusing upon the eternity and changelessness of our God will settle for us the tendency and the outcome of all history. In the fourth place, a consciousness of eternity reminds us of God's past works and encourages us to know that He will bless us in a similar way. The fifth and final lesson from the eternity and immutability of God teaches us that our earthly prayer and praise will soon give way to the glory of heaven. God has created within us a worshiping heart, which He will bring to perfection in His presence. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First of all, we'd like you to listen to a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Always Growing. The text is found in John chapter 1 and verse 50. Thou shalt see greater things than these. This is spoken to a childlike believer who was ready to accept Jesus as the Son of God, the King of Israel, upon one convincing piece of argument. Those who are willing to see shall see. It is because we shut our eyes that we become so sadly blind. We have seen much already. Great things and unsearchable has the Lord showed unto us, for which we praise His name. But there are greater truths in His word, greater depths of experience, greater heights of fellowship, greater works of usefulness, greater discoveries of power and love and wisdom. These we are yet to see if we are willing to believe our Lord. The faculty of inventing false doctrine is ruinous, but power to see the truth is a blessing. Heaven shall be opened to us. The way thither shall be made clear to us in the Son of Man, and the angelic commerce which goes on between the upper and lower kingdoms shall be made more manifest to us. Let us keep our eyes open toward spiritual objects and expect to see more and more. Let us believe that our lives will not dribble down into nothing, but that we shall be always on the growing hand, seeing greater and still greater things, till we behold the great God Himself, and never again lose the sight of Him.
Yeah.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We'd like to encourage you to take advantage of some of the free literature we offer on the program. We invite you to obtain a copy of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine. The theme of the current issue is the subject of temptation. In 5 articles, various ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church discuss such issues as how to recognize the temptation to sin, the temptation of Christ, and overcoming temptation. Among other articles of interest in this issue, you'll find a focus on the country of Macedonia, as well as the inspiring testimony of a young man born with cerebral palsy who is a glowing witness for Christ. A copy is available simply for the asking, and we promise that there will be no follow-up letters soliciting funds. For your free copy, just write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to become a man? Or, why did Christ have to be virgin-born? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Our problem when we come to pray is that we're so locked into the present. We can't look up to see the greatness of God. We can't look back to see the doings of God. We're so locked up in our little moment of crisis or of trouble. But remember, that's all it is. It's just a moment of crisis or trouble. And I'm not diminishing the reality of the trouble that very often faces us. But what the Scripture is telling us is, don't isolate it either from God or from what God has done. This is just one point in time. Look back. Have Christians been in trouble before? Have God's people ever had to face the kind of pressures we have to face today? Surely they have. And what has the Lord done? Let us go back to the Word of God. Fill our hearts, fill our minds with what God has done. Again, you think of what we read this morning in the 105th Psalm, where we are told, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Then it says, seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works. What's the Lord doing here? He's saying, listen, when you go back to what I have done, when it fills your heart and mind that I have done great things for the people of God under all the kinds of circumstances that God's people face today, that will encourage you to pray. When that has filled your heart, then go and pray and call upon God for His strength. This is what Isaiah the prophet certainly did. In the 51st chapter of that prophecy, in verse 9, there is the prayer, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake, as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Is that not a good prayer for today? Why is it that God's church is so weak in prayer today? Is it just coincidental that this weakness in prayer comes at a time when, A, there is a great weakness in theology in the churches, where the people are not taught about the greatness of their God? They have been given some touchy-feely, mushy, man-made, look-alike of Bible religion. That will never make you pray. All the little rock music ditties in the world will never make you pray and never give you confidence in your praying. But getting a vision of the greatness of your God, that will give you confidence in praying. Is it just coincidence then that our weakness in the church today in praying comes hand in hand with the weakness of theology? Is it just coincidence that that weakness in prayer comes at a time when there is an abysmal ignorance of the biblical and post-biblical history of God's dealings with His church? You go into churches today and ask the normal church member just downright simple things about the history of God's dealings in the Old Testament, and they don't know a thing about it. They just don't know about it. And if they know a few names, they have not got the details of God's mighty acts into their heart and into their head. And when you get beyond the Bible, when you start talking about the great deeds of God in the history of the church, people look at you like you're mad. What has that got to do with us? One of the first things I did 19 years ago when I came here was to start the October meetings for Reformation Month. And for 19 years have tried to incorporate the great events of Reformation history with the Word of God. Not just because I love Reformation history. Not just because I'm happy to be a Bible-believing Protestant. But because I believe with all my heart that God says, remember what I've done. And when you remember what I have done, then you will pray with confidence. When you see what God has done in the past, you will pray with Isaiah in chapter 64, Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. What you did in the past, Lord, do it again today. I haven't time to go into the 78th Psalm in this regard. It's one of the great historical narratives of the book of Psalms. But you will find, if you started to say verse 2 and go through verse 7, you'll find that the Lord says through the psalmist, we will not hide from our children the things that God has done, he's talking about. We'll not hide these things from our children. Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. What is the purpose? A few verses later, that the generation to come might know them. A couple of lines later, that they might declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God. Do you see the divine pattern from father to son and to the grandson and to the great-grandson from generation to generation? They say salvation doesn't run in the blood, and that's true. Doesn't run in the genes. But God is a God of covenant. And it is the usual expectation. It is not the exception. It is the rule that God should save the parents and their children and their children and their children. We should take that seriously. But it's not just a covenant that we can spill off from the end of our tongue. It is something to take seriously, where fathers gather their children around them and they tell them the mighty acts of God. They raise those children to be engrossed with God, to be overcome with the glory of God, to have their hearts filled with admiration and wonder at the marvels of the grace of God. That's why I have very, very, very serious reservations of the practice, or about the practice, of making Bible a school subject. Now, I learned Bible in school, and I'm not going out on a limb to say ban the Bible from school. I don't mean ban the Bible from school. But I have a horror and a hatred of making the Bible a textbook for kids to hate like all the other textbooks. This is God's book. And it is not something to be reduced to some little textbook of inane principles or something else just to fill up a school curriculum or even to make kids more obedient in school. This is a book that we're supposed to take and never handle like any other book. We're supposed to handle it as the bread of heaven, as the book that God has breathed from His own mouth. And we are to read it with awe. We're to talk about it with fear. We are to open it up to our children and let them see the greatness and the glory and the majesty of God until that glory fills their hearts. That's how it's supposed to be. My, how far short we have fallen. We wonder why the covenant doesn't seem to work in so many families. Families spend 20 or 30 hours a week watching television together, or perhaps not together. Maybe with the kids with a separate TV in every bedroom watching nobody knows what. But there's never been a single hour, not a single hour in most families, when they sit down to talk about the greatness of God and His works. We wonder what's going wrong. From generation to generation to generation. But listen. Make use of the great works of God. Pray on that basis. When you and your children see what God has done, they pray with confidence. So will you. The final thing, very quickly, the text does as it teaches us lessons for life and prayer. from the eternity and immutability of God reminds us that our earthly prayer and praise will soon give place to the everlasting worship of heaven. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I love to take those statements of the psalmist when he bursts out to God, "I will praise thee forever," not just as a statement of will or purpose. No doubt that's in the text. But as a statement of prophecy, I am going to praise God forever. Do you ever think of that? Today we praise, and how imperfectly, but we are going to praise our God for all eternity. The 48th Psalm, verse 14 says, "This God is our God forever and ever. He'll be our guide even unto," or as some prefer it, "even over death." Again, the psalmist tells us, "Thou hast girded me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." Think of what Paul said in Philippians 1 verse 6. "He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." Now, what has God begun to do? He has begun to create within us a worshiping heart. Despite our sins. Now, let's stop there. That's a miracle. Only God could do that. For you and I are born rebels. But God has created within us a worshiping heart. And He's not going to fail to bring it to perfection and make us sinless worshippers in heaven. So the words "forever" in the Lord's Prayer give us an assurance of heaven. We will glorify our God forever. You remember the famous words of Malachi 3, 16 and 17? A book of remembrance was written before him. "For them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels." God has a book of remembrance of his people. He says, "They're going to be mine." That's the great thing about praying. It's the great thing about praising God. It's the great thing about acknowledging, "Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory." It reminds us we're going to do that forever in heaven. Great Puritan Thomas Manton said that glory is excellence discovered with praise. That's a good definition. And if that's true, then prayer is heaven begun. And heaven is our prayer and praise completed.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc at freepress.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.